Welcome to the Mind Games podcast. Today, we're joined by a very special guest. He has played over 130 games in the NRL for the Newcastle Knights and Canberra Raiders. He's an all-round great bloke. He's funny, and I'm super grateful to sit down with him today. Tom Starling, enjoy. Tommy Starling, how you going, mate?
Good, Mitchy. How you going, brother?
Good, thank you, mate. Mate, first of all, super grateful for you to take your time out and buy a week off. Made a big trip down to come see me. So, mate, I really appreciate this. Super grateful for, your support and, the help you've given me with this is awesome. So, mate, I really appreciate that.
Thanks for having me on, mate. I'm looking forward to it. It's looking good in here, so can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, have a bit of a yarn, chew some fat, and hopefully some people can get a little bit out of it.
Yeah, 100%, mate, I reckon, for sure.
Yeah, mate, start off, I've obviously known you a little bit of time. I've known you since you were probably how old were you when you started playing cricket with my brother?
9 or 10?
Or 12? Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably a 10, 11.
Yeah, okay.
It all gets blurred into one.
But
yeah, I don't know. It was around that, probably 9, 10, 11.
Yeah,
like
okay. Anyway. Well, it's funny because I'll give a little bit of a story that people can, and I'll actually let you have the floor on this, but there's a story that every time you and I have a beer or you and my brother have a beer and we end up FaceTiming my old man.
And it doesn't matter what time of the morning, afternoon or morning it is, he's getting a FaceTime call. Poor Ray boy, but
Yeah, mate, let us in on the story. So playing cricket with my little brother, my old man was one of the coaches.
Yeah, so I wasn't the best cricketer. I used to go at...
No, tell the real story. You're a gun.
Nah, I wasn't. I was the opening batter with your brother, and I used to always just face the first ball, take the heat.
Yeah, bloke was bowling 180, wasn't he?
Yeah, this dude. It was the next Brett Lee that you were calling this kid, but we're playing like a 20-20 up at Doylo, and... we're playing the age group above, so this team was a gun side, and we're playing them. And I can't remember this kid's name. He was a gun fast bowler, and all the way up, our family friend and head coach Troy was telling me how good this fast bowler is. I'm a pretty confident fellow. I was telling Troy I'm going to hit this bloke for a six. I'm just chatting it up anyway. So I've gone out there, dragged me bat out there, and watched this. He bowled this ball and it just whizzed straight past me, and I didn't even see that thing. I was like, oh my god, that was fast. And then next ball, same thing, he bounces me and I've swung at it, I've missed it, and it's skimmed off the top of my helmet and gone for six. And Troy, he was umpire, he looked at me and goes, you hit that? And I said, yeah, touch, said nick me bat, I think, and something like that. But I had this big red mark across my helmet. They couldn't find the ball, went that far off my head, and then I think next ball he clean bowled me middle stump. So I do tend to tell the story on the piss.
Yeah, ball's still going.
Yeah, I hit it back over his head, and that was the true story. But if I tell people about my, I think it was my only ever six in a game of cricket. To be fair, I might have hit one more, but I'll tell him I hit it straight back over his head. But yeah, it's a good story that Ray boys get to the phone call at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
And you know what, mate? I don't reckon he'd change that for the world. He loves it. Yeah, he loves getting that phone call.
It's a good phone call.
It is.
He has
funny.
To wake up, roll out of bed. He knows when he sees my phone, my number come up. He knows what story's coming. So yeah,
that's great. Well, mate, I guess we've given a little bit of background on how we sort of know each other, but I guess let's just talk about the current season for the moment. Like, congratulations on how it's sort of gone so far. Had a lot of things, go your way. You personally have had the best season probably of your career. I think that's pretty fair to say, but also in a team environment, you've had the best season of your career. Signed a new deal, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Another couple of years in Canberra. How is the body holding up?
Yeah, body's feeling good at the minute. The usual bumps and bruises you go through a season. There's all these different injuries that you go through, and
because it's the most minutes you've played in a season right?
Yeah, for sure. It's been a pretty physically demanding season as well with our travel schedule and stuff like that. And body's feeling good. You go through patches where your body feels good and sometimes doesn't feel so good. And the club are really good at looking after us and making sure we're physically ready to go and making sure that everyone's looked after. And if you do need a day or two off there at training, that we'll get that. But we've been really excited about our training, how we've been training. It's probably been our massive turnaround this year. We train with intensity, don't get me wrong, in the last few years, but I think the consistency in our training's been the major part of our success, and it's been driven from, you know, from Sticky all the way down to captain, and then senior leadership group just following that. But then it's also
are you a part of that now?
Yeah, cool. We're a part of the senior leadership group. We've got a good group there, and but it's also the younger boys that have stepped up too, and really, you know, taking and learning how to train as a first grader, and we're trying to show the way for them and show it. So yeah, it's been a good start of the year, or good season so far, and we know we've got a long way to go. We got 3 games left until semi-final football, and then it's a whole new season again, Mitchie, and it's exciting for us. But you know, at this point, we haven't done anything, so we've got our goals and ambitions, and we've got to go grab it now.
For sure. Well, I think like you've already locked up a home semi-final, so I think you can mathematically still miss the minor prem, which you just won't. But how important was it, I guess, once you've kind of got in a position to, like, that you were having a really good season, how important was it for you guys to, you know, mentally lock up that home semi-final, do you think?
It's massive. I think you look at the stats, it's no one's won the comp outside the top four in the modern format, so being in the top four is huge. But then, you know, when you get 2 home semi-finals, that's a massive part, and especially being in Canberra, where it's,
you know, so you do get two
in Canberra. They had it in 2019 there, and they had some extra seats and stuff there, so it's I remember being there for that. I didn't plan it, obviously, but that was pumping there. That was probably the best environment I've been a part of, and so yeah, the 2 home semis is massive, especially for us being Canberra and having, you know, it being in Canberra. Like, I know in Sydney here, it might be a little bit different, where, you know, teams are sharing a stadium and stuff like that. So we get our home shed, our home, you know, we get to sleep in our own bed and stuff like that. So it's going to be huge. And the fans, it's what the fans deserve. They come out every week, and, you know, some pretty tough conditions and support us. So, you know, that's something that we've been speaking about, is making sure we get that 2 home semi-finals. And Stuick's been pretty vocal to us about winning the minor premiership too. So awesome. We're chasing that. And, yeah, hopefully some exciting times ahead down in Canberra with some home semi-finals.
How good's that? Like, question off the back of that. So you mentioned the consistency in the team's training, and the being driven from Stick all the way to Taps, all the way down to the junior boys. How, like, was it, did you see a massive difference, like, looking back at the preseason now? Like, was there a shift in intensity? Was there a shift in mindset? Was there...
Probably a bit of both. I think the us missing the 8 last year was probably a kick in the butt that we needed. Like, at the time, it sucked and stuff like that. But it showed that something needed to change. And not a whole lot, but like something needs to change, and
because there's never a personnel issue. Like, your middle's probably the best in the comp, right?
100%,
including the 9.
We've always got a good team down there. We've always got a good coaching staff. We've got everything that we need there, and it's unacceptable for a club of that, a team of that caliber, and a club as good as the Canberra Aids to miss the top 8. So it was a bit of a kick in the butt for us, and you could just tell when we come back to the pre-season training, the intensity and everything that needed to happen for us to, you know, go to that top 4 side that we speak about every year. But we had the little things needed to change, and it was just that intensity every day, not every second day, or you can't have that training session off. So yeah, that's been probably the biggest difference in our consistency in the intensity. And you know, everyone says, every team says it, every player says it's been the hardest. It was the hardest preseason, but it was probably best for. It was good that we down in Canberra, you can tuck away down there and not be in the, you know, in the headlines too much about how hard it is. And, you know, we just like to go down there, do our work, and then let our football do the talking throughout the season. So it was a tough preseason, and it led into an exciting start of the season. We've gone over the Vegas and stuff like that. So, and a good travel schedule that was tough. Mate, that was mad. That was good time. So once in a lifetime opportunity to be able to do that.
Because you'd been before, right?
To Vegas. Been to Vegas
with Blake and stuff, wasn't it?
No.
What, Bryce? Blake,
it was just, we met Blake over in Texas.
Okay.
But it was like Connor, my 2 brothers, and little Fletcher watching. Yeah. Different trip, but not too different in sometimes. But being able to go there and play at Allegiant Stadium, being an NFL fan, and, you know, they had the Super Bowl there, I think the year before, whatever it was, like, that was mad. That was crazy. And we got to go tour the, me and Hudson got the tour the Las Vegas Raiders facility, seeing that, and yeah, it was that was a once in a lifetime opportunity, and you know, lifelong memories definitely to go over there.
Unreal,
sick, yeah,
unreal. Well, I guess like in the just to go back to the preseason, sorry, but there's how much are you, do you think you guys listened? Maybe not listened, but heard the outside noise. You know, there was quite a few pundits. Like, you know, some people were saying you guys were going to get the spoon, which when you look back at it, it's like the funniest thing ever. But like, you know, were you guys utilizing that to, so there's probably two ways you can look at that, right? You can go, oh, we use it as an excuse and say, oh, everyone thinks we're going to get the spoon anyway, so who cares? We'll just go out. If we win, we win. Or it's utilized as motivation. How were you able to sort of, as a leader of the group, and how were the leaders of the group able to shift the mindset of the boys and sort of take that second mindset of we're going to, you know, use that as motivation and go after it a bit more?
I've been asked this a couple of times by some media people. They're like that we'll tip for the wooden spoon or whatever and stuff like that. That, you know, we didn't use, that's not our main motivation. Like every year we come in, they're like, you want to win a comp. That's the thing. And that's not the, That's your drive. That's the, be the best team you can, be the best player you can, and, you know, strive for greatness. That's your main goal. And then, but that stuff does definitely add fuel to the fire. You know, it throws a bit of heat on there. So like it adds a little bit of chip on the block.
Just to ask the question on that. So what can you just outline for us? What does day one of preseason look like? Is it just going to get flogged, or is there like a meeting where it's like goals on the whiteboard? Is there who drives it? How does it? I know you might have be there day one preseason this year.
What do you go? It comes in stage. You get stage and stuff. But I think from like you have your end of year meeting when you finish
the season,
and stick over pretty good sort of chat there. Like he said, like, come back ready to work, be in shape, because, you know, and pretty much what I said before, it's unacceptable for us to miss the eight. We should be playing footy. And I think the general centres of the group, you know, just speaking to the boys in the off season, watching semi-finals and the prelims and the grand finals, you're like, you want to be there so bad. And we come back, and I think, you know, that we had that speech before coming back, and then when we come back, obviously stick checks in, and it's like lock in, let's go. We've got to hit the ground running here, and I think it was just that mindset over the off break, get your time off, but come back in ready to go and ready to hit the ground running, because you'll get left behind because we're coming in banging, ready to go.
How does did you do anything differently this preseason to come back and have the season you're having? Like, did you work harder? Did you have less time off? Did you do anything different? Or was it just a shift in mindset, a bit more maturity, a bit more of a leadership role, and you've sort of come?
Yeah, I think the change in the roles obviously probably helped me a little bit. Obviously not coming off the bench is a bit of a different one for me. I've always been coming off the bench, and it's probably just a bigger portion size, so I can go out there and show what I've got. I'm always keeping myself in pretty good nick, and I do take my time off to get away and enjoy myself for a little bit. But it's always that you always want to come back and try. Like, my goal is to be the best football player I can possibly be. I don't want to get to the end of my career and go, well, I could have done this, could have been this, or that's sort of my biggest fear, is not being able to reach my potential and what I want to be in a football player. So I think that's the stuff that keeps you up at night, like as a competitor and as a player. Like, am I doing enough always? Like, do I do enough today? Do I do enough recovery? I think that's what keeps me driving, is like, I want to be the best player I can be, and I know what I can do. And I think that's for me. I approach it every year, and it's not always going to be smooth sailing. You got to go through a few ups and downs. You got to have a few honest conversations with yourself and with other people. And mindset was, when I was coming off the bench, I wanted to be the best impact 14 dummy half I could be. I wanted to be a starter, but Stick would tell me that it's best thing for the team is me come off the bench. So I'm like, all right, mind shift would change. Like, pre-season, I'll train the house down. I'd be preparing as a starting dummy half. And then, whatever, we'll come around, and Stick goes, the best thing for us is you come off the bench, bring that energy. I'm like, no problem. That's then how I'd approach it. I've got to be, bringing that energy around the boys. I've got to be doing that. So that's sort of that was my mindset. And I'm a big team player. I love the team aspect of rugby league. I love the camaraderie between the boys, and like that feeling that I chase is after a game of footy, like when you've just like had a massive win. Like all the photos in my that I save from games is like half through game, and you just see the happiness on my face, and that's a feeling I chase. Is like there's nothing that comes close to that winning a game of football. You know, going through a mad stretch of winning games of footy. It's like it's such a high. Like this year, it's been so good because we've been winning, playing good footy. Like everything's good. Yeah, the food tastes better. Everything tastes better. So, you know, everything's good. So that's that feeling of winning football. Like after, I love waking up in the morning, black eyes, whatever. But when you got the win, you're like, it's all worth it.
So. Talk me through like. There's two parts to this question, but so I guess in previous years, and like I'm one of these people, but people that are messaging you and like, so you're coming off the bench, you get beat, and like, yeah, oh, so I'll use myself an example, but I know your other mates would have been doing it too, a messaging you going like, far out, when you came on, the game changed, like what's sticky thinking, put you on the, but you're still keeping that mindset of like, no, I'm a team player. The best thing for me is for this person to start, me to come off the bench and come on and impact games when I do. And when he puts me on is the best thing for the team. How do you sort of cloud that outside noise and leave that at the door? Because it's like your closest mates and friends and family who are your biggest supporters, right?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, look, it just comes with it, I guess. Like it when it works, it worked perfectly. And sometimes when it doesn't work, like, did I do everything I could in my role? Like it comes back to individual accountability and it's not like I was thrilled with coming off the bench. I wanted to start. I know, like I want to be out there for 80 minutes and stick to that. And but again, he just told me that, you know, this is the best thing for the team and like I was fine with that. And like that it just goes back to the mindset of like what, you know, I'm going to be the best impact 14 I can be and for me personally and. So yeah, like it's just one of them things that you just got to, make sure we get around the team and make sure that this is what we do and, you know, wins and losses come and we just got to look to get better each week. So it was never anything personal. Stick always has had my back in all the time and it's never personal. That's how we should see the team needed and that's what I did. And I wasn't always coming off the bench. There was times where I started. I had a good run
there.
There
was a stint last year you had like a month.
Back end of the season.
And back in 2020,
I started a lot of games. Well, I think I was pretty much the only hooker that was fit and I was doing some big workloads and then I think that's the year that Zach Wolf would come down and help. Took a bit of the workload off me. I was still pretty young at the time, doing a big workload, and as a undersized hooker, I was doing, you know, the workload I'm probably doing now, and I've matured and worked out how to do it a little bit better now. So it's not like I was, you know, just a 14 the whole time. Like I was definitely had my opportunities to prove myself back in the a few years ago, and things didn't work out. But like again, I'm still playing first grade football. I'm still playing my dream. Absolutely. Like it's not, I wasn't. Yeah, I'm not walking around kicking stones and, you know, spitting the dummy out. I'm playing NRL and I was happy as, and whatever way I could contribute to the team and the team's success is what I was looking for. So
I love that. There's so many little lessons in like what you've just said that so many junior footballers I think can take from. Like that's even like thinking back to my own sporting career, and as I said, I'll keep using myself as an example, but just different scenarios happened to me that I use that sort of victim mentality of like, why not me, like sort of thing. Coming through, but had I had that mindset, it would have been a completely different scenario, which is really cool. And I think like off the back of that, it's a similar sort of mindset, but like just going back to the outside noise of the pundits and different things sort of saying, you know, you were going to come down the bottom and blah, blah, blah. I'd love to know how Sticky approached that. So did he even address it?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah, for sure. Like, you can't block it out. Like, I know everyone's like, block out the noise. Like, it's there. You're not going to avoid it. And I think I like to look into it. Like, it's the narrative of who you are and what, and like, if it's a team thing, it's what your team's perceived on the outside.
Yeah.
And the only way to change that is with your actions. So,
get
results and change the narrative. Like, that's what's out there. That's what they think of you. And that's fine. That's their job. They'll do that. So like we stick spoke about it. Like, and as I sort of said before, it's not the driving factor of what like we come in and go, oh, look what Mitch said about us today. Like we see it and go, oh yeah, just add that to the list. Like we'll circle back to that. But like the driving factor is, as I mentioned before, be the best team we can, be the best individual, and be you know, be the best team that we can be, and the end goal is a premiership. So, and that's been a massive focus for us this year, and we've been pretty vocal inside the group about that's what we're chasing. Don't let our standards slip, and don't let that what we're chasing out of sight, and don't let it get lost in the sauce. Like we're chasing a premiership, and you come with that mentality every day that we're here to win a premiership and we want to win. So every day we've got to be attacking it.
Awesome. Love that. Mate, going to shift it a little bit. So we're going to go back to young Tommy. So Windsor Wolf Jr., another Penrith Jr. in the NRL.
Born out in Windsor. So, good memories out there as a young kid, mate. There was me two brothers out there, and mum and dad, we had a tight little family there, and good times out there. We lived up the road from a BMX track. We're always outside on the BMX, so playing footy out the back. So, yeah, good times back then. But, yeah, another Penrith junior.
Another Penrith. Technically. So, what age did you move to the coast?
I was out at Windsor. And then we moved over to Oakville for a year, played for the Hills Bulls, another pretty famous local team. So, yeah. Played them for a year. Ryan Pappenhausen actually was in that side, so not bad.
Who was the coach? He'd be out there claiming both of you, surely. Coaching under sixes.
I think my dad might have been in amongst it somewhere. Big Dave. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway. I moved up to the Avoca when we were 11, 10, 10, 11, I think. I was 10, 11, so I don't know what year that was, but yeah, someone do the math. But yeah, so still pretty young. Still we haven't sort of just starting primary school and stuff like that, so yeah.
Yeah, cool. And then, so started playing at Kingumber Colts. Yep. Were you straight in the ones?
Yeah, I think so. Straight in the ones.
Little halfback.
I think. I think I was playing dummy half at the time.
I remember you had the State of Origin headgear.
No front teeth, shaved head at that time. Started playing it for the Kingumber Colts, and still good mates with all the boys back there at the minute. Like that's they're the memories that you have that you grow up. And you look back on, like, it was so fun. Like, we always want to get back home and catch up with your mates. We're always talking about the Kingumber Colts days and how good it was, and that's where your love of the sport comes, and competing there. So
I still remember there was a day you were playing, and it would have been when you were getting a bit older, like 14, 15, and like you had the best line runner in Australia, Billy Watson. Watkins,
yeah. Billy Watkins, who I'm referring to.
Yeah. And still to this day is the best line runner I've ever seen.
71 option was our one play.
Then the other play was fifth tackle. You put up a bomb and chase it for yourself.
Got a couple of lucky bounces.
But just to go to that, like, so as long as I've sort of taken any notice of your football career, you're always making sort of the Central Coast rep teams and stuff like that. Did you make that from the start?
Yeah, I think, I think it was, like 13s, I think you start there. So I was getting picked in all that sort of stuff. I think I broke my ankle for my first year. But, I got picked for most of the rep sides coming through. I didn't get in too many of the school stuff, but, my dad wasn't too fussed about that. He said, don't worry about it. School teachers picking them. So it didn't worry me too much. So,
But that's great advice, right? Like people see all the schoolboy stuff and understand you were still making the other rep sides, but you look how many players have sort of come through and they haven't made all these different teams and stuff through the ranks, but the mindset of like, you're like, you know, your dad was like next job.
Yeah.
Sweet. Like, you know, you still... as long as you're doing everything every day at club footy and in the rep sides and stuff that you're playing, like it's, you're still going to open those opportunities for yourself.
Yeah. It's funny to say that, we were talking about the schoolboys the other day down in at Captain's Run. And, we didn't have one Australian schoolboy at Canberra.
Well,
on the outside, like in that group that we're asking, I don't know if one
did sort Strange of, not make it.
No, Strange. He wasn't even playing. I didn't play school footy. I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
There's not one like schoolboy, like Australian schoolboy, which is not discredited or anything. It's still a massive achievement for the kids that make it and stuff, and it's huge. But
you stayed at my place when you played Triple C. Didn't
yeah,
you?
I think
Could
so.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
I would have. I
With
straight
Ducky
after.
And stuff. Yeah,
yeah. We flew in from Brisbane.
Yeah.
And then we stayed at yours that night. I think we're fresh 18, and we went out on the town. And thought, well, this and that. So it was good times. But it's not the be all end all. Like it's, you look at some of the. You know, the players everyone's got their own story. There's some people that make all the rep sides and go through and make the NRL. Some people don't get picked. Like Zach Oxen, I don't think he didn't play SG Ball Harold Matz.
Did he not?
And he started playing 20s 1 year and then played reserve grade and then like.
He's a then they went up now.
To Queensland Cup and then found his way down back to played two games for a couple of games for Brisbane, be a part of a premiership winning Penrith side, and then he's a staple of our side. So everyone's got their own story and everyone's got their own way to the top, and it's not all sunshines and rainbows. Sometimes you have to go the long path, and so it's not the be all and end all making junior rep sides, or if you do make it, it's not guaranteed that they're going to make it, but it's also a massive achievement. So you just got to know that everyone's story is different. Everyone's rise to the top and their story is different. And so, yeah.
Yeah, cool. And yeah, as you sort of said, forge your own path. But so your path was, I'm tipping you would have had an offer from the coast as well, but you had got an opportunity to go to Newcastle under 15, 16s,
yep.
Play Harold Matz and different things. Like, was that a tough decision to make, or was it just sweet? This is my path. This is the closest, probably one of the closest clubs to go to from where I'm living. There's an opportunity.
Yeah, so so there's like a development team in under 15s,
the Chargers,
that Newcastle had there, and they would. You get your letter and then do you want to be a part of this development squad? You only played like I think 3 or 4 games, and it was more of a training program, and there's a big catchment of kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was the under 15s, and obviously at the time Harold Matz was under 16s, and the Central Coast wanted me to go play under 16s Harold Matz. Okay. So you're thinking like, oh, how good would that be?
You'd play more footy too.
Yeah, but like they wanted me to sign like a 3-year deal or something for the Central Coast. And
was there a pathway?
Not at the Central Coast at that time. It was pretty, yeah. They'll fight, like there was a bit of a fight between them and Newcastle, like with picking their juniors out and picking their juniors out and stuff like that. So, I think I wanted to play Harold Matz. Like, how good was it?
Yeah.
I wanted to go play Parramatta and I wanted to go pay Penrith and stuff like that for the Central Coast. Like, I was like thinking that, but luckily my dad, and Darren McCarthy was our coach, yep. At Kincumber, who's Bob McCarthy's son, and he's had a lot to do, played NRL and had a lot to do with NRL teams and clubs and stuff like that. And he was at South at the time, and he said, and my dad agreed with him, go to Newcastle, get in the system there and start developing yourself there. You don't need to start playing in Harold Matz at a young age. So,
yeah, cool.
Another
question to that though, like, and I'll get to, there's more questions to this coming later, was there our good friend Connor Watson, my old housemate. So it was he made the same decision, but he's 2 years older than you.
Yeah.
Him going there at the same time, did that help make that decision a bit easier? Travel a bit easier and things like that?
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah, Connor went there for a little bit, and then I think he went down to Knox. Yeah. So it sort of changed his path.
But when you
bit.
Made your decision, he was there already, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so. I can't remember the exact, but yeah, like I think that coming back to it was like, yeah, just get yourself in an NRL system and then you work your way up through there. But yeah, obviously having Connor a couple of years older and being my older brother's best mate, sort of showed the road a little bit, and
absolutely,
going to watch him play Harold Matz and stuff like that was pretty exciting.
Motivating.
Like, and then yeah, and you sort of you're around it, so that's where you sort of showed where. It could be, and yeah, sort of showed the path a little bit. He took a different route and went down to Knox and started playing rugby, and I went up to Newcastle and sort of stayed up there. So yeah, it was a bit of a pathway guidance for sure, Connor. Well done.
Yeah,
we'll be watching for sure.
Yeah. So like from there, I think you were like player of the year in what Harold Matz SG Ball. Am I right in saying?
Yeah.
You played all the New South Wales under 18s and
yeah,
stuff.
We won the national title at Newcastle under 16s.
You had like, was Hudson in that team?
Hudson was in that team.
Was Joe Tarpany? No.
Nah, he came over a bit later. Hutto was in that side. It was
Brendan
good.
Brendan was in that side.
Brendan O'Hagan was in that side. Yeah. He gets mentioned a few times in these podcasts. He's got a good couple of stories. But we won the Harold Matz national title, which was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kept a similar sort of side all the way through SG Ball until our top age and a couple of new recruits or whatever. But yeah, it was a good side. It was there's a fair few sort of boys kicked on and played at the reserve grade and under 20s, and I think maybe 5 or 6 of us played NRL out of that under 16 side, which is a pretty good strike rate.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's good.
Why not out of my on that side of the Central Coast? Only Matty Cavalli played NRL.
Yeah, right, there you go.
So there's only one. I think there's another question around like your mindset, how you've handled different types of adversity. So a common, and this is no surprise to you, a common critique of you is, oh, he's tough, he's a gun, he's all this, he's you know, a tough trainer, everything, but he's too small.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard that your whole life.
Yeah.
How have you always kind of tackled that? And what is it similar to what you sort of, the way you've tackled things this year with Canberra in terms of that's outside noise, next job, this is my goal, I'm going to play NRL, I'm going to play for Australia, this is what your goal is, and you're moving in that direction, that's just whatever? Or how have you sort of tackled that?
Yeah, I think it was labelled on me for, like I never really had anyone tell me, but I think it was pretty evident, everyone's going this way and I'm still down here, it is what it is. Like I've never known anything different, Mitchy. I've always been short and sort of undersized, I guess. And even at Harold Match, SG Ball, like I was still pretty small. Like I worked hard. I was still pretty, well built and stuff like that. It was just probably me size and stuff. But look, it is what it is. Like as soon as I knew that you could play NRL, professionally, and that's your job. Like that's all I ever wanted to do, and nothing was going to stop me. Not me size. Not some coach telling me it was too small or whatever it was. So look, I just was like full steam ahead, let's go. Like I'm may as well give it a crack. Like I didn't want to look back and go, dip my toe in because I thought I was too small. Like I don't know anything different, Mitch. So I was just wanted to. I think it creates that toughness in you and a bit of resilience. And
is it very much like I'm going to control the controllables?
Yeah,
100%. So like I can be the toughest person in the room. I can be the hardest trainer. I can be like, you're not necessarily going to be the fastest or the strongest, but you might be.
Yeah.
But like you can work the hardest to get to that position where you can control what you can control.
Yeah. My dad's always been a hard worker. Like my parents are, both of my parents, like they the hard work they did to provide their boys with the lifestyle they wanted to give them, living in a nice place up at Avoca Beach and getting everything that we needed. Like it was, don't get me wrong, we weren't rolling in it. Like they'd commute back and forth from Sydney every day. Dad's a bricklayer. Mum was a personal assistant and moved into sort of sales and stuff like that. And I think from looking back on it now, You observe that sort of stuff as a young kid.
So I was going to say, like that, seeing your old man work as hard as he did, brick lane and stuff every day. Like, is that think you've that's influenced the way you've trained and worked hard in your career?
100%. And like you just see your parents working hard, like in getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to drive down to Sydney, like doing that every day, 5 days a week, sometimes even six, for how many years. That was their goal. Like they come together and they wanted to raise their kids up on the Central Coast, and they knew it would be challenging near the, to be able to commute back and forth and the hard work and so you learn that stuff as you pick that up as a kid. You see the hard work, and then even my dad, like training, like he'll get in the gym and he'll bench press, he'll get in there on the boxing bag. He loved doing that. He loved training. He showed me a good work ethic from a young age. Come on, let's go train. And would be out there lifting weights and stuff like that, like doing squats, push-ups, and would have chin-up competitions amongst my brothers and stuff like that. And, the lessons that he would say, you just got to work. Like, if you want something, just go out and work hard, put your head down, and you just got to do it. Like, if you want it, you just got to work hard for it. And,
that's cool.
Ever since I was a young kid, I knew that training hard would get you places, and I was riding to watching motivational stuff. I love all that sort of stuff. I'd be on YouTube watching people do these workouts and stuff like that, and I'd go at the front and just do these random. I remember dad made a brick letterbox, and I'd be doing box jumps on top of that, like when I was sort of 15, 16, just watching clips of people training in the NFL or NRL or whatever it was, and I'd go out there and just start doing this stuff. And dad loved his training, so he was always out there training with me in the hot heat and running up the hill or whatever it was. So we're always into training hard and stuff like that. So, but yeah, definitely learn a lot without even really realizing at the time that, like, you learn something here about hard work, and if you want something, go and get it.
Yeah, cool.
Don't sit on your hands.
And then, like, I guess So to shift it through, like you obviously progressed through at Newcastle, made your debut at Newcastle. When you were, I guess, on the verge of sort of coming through, so you're playing New South Wales Cup and different things, was there similar type of people in the club with their training? Like I know, for example, we were going to mention Connor again, but someone like him, he's always, everyone sort of said to me, he's the fittest in everything.
Yeah.
He's always been one of the hardest trainers. Is there people like Connor or Piercy or whoever at the club that you're sort of seeing these guys, you know, excel? And that's another thing to strive for with that?
Yeah, for sure. Like, as you mentioned, Connor, like, we would always be in and around each other when we're back home and stuff, and we'll train together. And, you pick up things for it's hard to sort of pinpoint a couple of players, but, you know, the hard work that, you know, some people put in, it just doesn't happen on the weekend. And you pick up different things from different trainers throughout the years. And, I could sit here all day and talk about some of the best trainers that I've been around. And there's been some really good ones, you know. But, I think just from a young age, like, as I sort of mentioned before, my dad was always into me. Like, I think dad knew that I was probably not too small, but he knew I was small. And he used to always, you know, dad played a bit of footy back in the day. And I used to smash everyone up back in the day. Don't worry, he always knew that, like, just you got to work hard, be the fittest, be the strongest, you know, like, just be the best that you can be and control what you can control. And in his own way, that's what he would sort of tell me. And, he would always have me back. So would my mum. Like, they've been my rock. But, definitely my dad in terms of training and chasing it.
Were they big in belief, like believing in yourself?
Yeah.
Like, so obviously everyone has setbacks and different things. And actually, I'm going to tell a little bit of a story here, but I think this, and I don't know if you'd even remember this, and he probably said it to you a million times. So there was probably, it probably just became a thing to you. But there was a night where you came down. I don't know if it was the same night we were talking about earlier, and you stayed at my place. And Connor was referring to something as in, like, it's an absolute given, like it's an absolute certainty. He goes, it's basically like whether Tom Starling's going to play NRL. And you would have been, how old were you when you debuted, 20?
20.
Yeah, it would have been 2 years before that. So you would have been 18.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, 20.
And you would have been 18 because we were drinking, so we would have been 18. But yeah. Connor was referring to something as an absolute given, and he goes, oh, it's basically just like if Tom Starling's going to play NRL or not.
Yeah.
So having, like, you know, your brother's best mate, a really close mate of yours, someone who's forged their own path and came from the same junior club, same school, like all these sort of things, someone you, I'm sure, looked up to your whole life without giving him too much of a rap, giving you like this sort of belief just in passing. And I'm sure it was a common thing, but that was one thing that I just remember from like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That I was like, fuck, that's pretty cool. And in my mind, I was like, yeah, of course he's going to play. Like, look at him. He's played in all the state teams and stuff, whatever. Did you think that subconsciously helped with your belief, or you just a confident person, or?
For sure. Like, it's pretty, like, we had a tight little group, little of friends back home. Like, everyone knows everyone. And, like, I'd hang out with my older, like, Connor and, like, my older brother's mates. And then, hang out with my little brother's mates. Like, we're all pretty tight. And so I think there's that belief in each other. And, like, obviously haven't seen Connor do it a couple of years before me. Like, he debuted pretty young, I think, at the Roosters. And I remember being at his debut game.
In the rain at Penrith. Allianz against Penrith.
Like, and, like, Connor sort of showing the way how to do it a little bit. Like, don't want to give him too much of a big head because he's already got a big enough head. But, yeah, like...
Or fumbles.
You look up to your older brother and his mates and stuff like that. So, we've all got each other's backs. And I think Connor's the best, dummy half out there. And I think, like, I've always got his back. And the same as, like, all my mates. Like, I've just, like, you always believe in your mates. And because I guess you've seen how hard he's worked for it and stuff like that. And he's probably seen how hard I've worked for it. So, belief in each other, I think that goes a long way for sure, Mitchy.
Yeah, cool. So then I guess off the back of that, you sort of progressed through, you make your debut the final round in 2018. For the Knights, came on off the bench, played solid, played well. End of the season. How's your mindset? Like, you know, you've just achieved your dream. Off contract.
Yeah.
Talk us through this little period.
Yeah, it was a bit of a funny one. I think, obviously just debut, like, top of the world, like, wow, like, you've just achieved everything in your life that you wanted to do, play NRL. Like, you always sort of said to yourself, I just want to get one. And then
get one, you're like,
once you get one, you want to get 50. Yeah. It keeps going like that. But, like, so I got to where you wanted to get to, and I was coming off contract and I was sort of in and out of reserve grade in 20s that year, probably more playing reserve grade. But the 20s side was going really good. And so I had to, after I debuted, I went back to played in the 20s because we were in the, went to all the way to the prelim.
Oh, so you still qualified?
Yeah, qualified. Oh, okay. So I went back and we went to the prelim and I was playing good. Like, played good and I think in the prelim and stuff. We lost on the bell against Penrith.
Who was in that side?
Yeah, I can't remember. It's all gets a bit mixed up with who was playing at what. But they had a fair side. I think Dane Laurie actually scored the match winner on the bell.
Yeah, okay.
If I'm thinking of the right game, but I know we lost under the bell.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was coming off contract, and I sort of thought like I debuted. You know, went to a prelim final with the 20s, played really good in reserve grade. Surely I'll pick something up. And it was radio silence to my manager, which was a bit disheartening. But so I've gone from the pinnacle what I wanted to do until. A couple of months, or I guess a month later, not having anything, not an NRL deal.
So is it, what talk us through your mindset here? Is it like panic? Is it like, what's next? Like, am I going to have to go play club footy on the coast? Where's are you thinking, oh, like, I'll just go play New South Wales Cup somewhere? Like, how's your mindset?
I'm always a glass half full.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm like.
Is what I want to get to.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I had my moments there. I'm like, oh shit, is this it? Like, there's been a few times there where someone's had one debut and like it was like a stat, like someone's just had one game and that was the end of it. And like, oh shit, is that happened to me? Don't get me wrong, like I definitely had them emotions and I was feeling that. But I think it was like what's next? What do I got to do to just continue on? Like, I believed in myself and like my mum at the time was a bit worried, like, what are you going to do and stuff like that. And we obviously, my manager reached out to other clubs and there was nothing. And so we're like, oh, what's next? And then the Q Cup was tossed up, and a few teams reach out, but there was one team that come back, Tweed Seagulls, and so I signed with them. I was
Did
like, no,
you know anyone there?
Curtis Dark, my good mate that I played with in Newcastle. He moved up there to work and was just playing footy for him as well. So he was the sort of way in there. It was either them or the team that's like way out west, like somewhere like I can't even
Townsville
remember.
Or something.
No, it was some other team. I can't Mackay, remember.
That. I don't know.
No, it wasn't even them. It was like.
No, it doesn't matter.
Anyway,
doesn't
but they were like the team that like way out there. Yeah. Anyway, like it would be a big shock for me. But so yeah, I was just like, oh, this is my path, this is my journey. Like it's all part of. I think I used to always tell my mum, they'll put this in my documentary, mum, like mucking around. It is what it is. You can't change it. And so I just sort of set my goals on going up to Tweed and playing some good footy up there in the Q Cup, and it's a good comp up there. So I thought, there might be a chance to get picked up by the Gold Coast because they're a feeder club and or whatever it is. Just go up there for a year and play the footy that I know I'm capable of. And I've always been a big believer in let my footy do the talking. And I've always, sort of stuck by that. And so headed up there to do a pre-season for a couple of weeks and then got a phone call that changed everything, I guess.
Yeah, cool. And so talk us through the phone call. It was initially Hudson, right?
Yeah.
So Hutto, he played with at Newcastle. He was forging his own way down in Canberra. He then picks up the phone after speaking to the club or whatever and happened there.
Yeah, so I was up there. I still remember Hutto messaged me. I was looking for houses.
Were you that close then?
Yeah, we're pretty close. Well, not as close as we are now, but like we'd still be in contact. Like me and Hutto, as soon as we played our match together, we just like caught along like that. Like we're good mates then. And I think it was actually at the Chargers that we first met. We were in the blue squad, so we always just remember like we always mucking around like that. Yeah. So we just had that sort of energy around us, and we got along really well. So I still remember where I was sitting on the beach. I just was sitting there, and I was having a look at a few different houses to sort of rent and move into. And I was actually waiting to take a few phone calls to see which job I was gonna do up there.
Yeah, okay. What were you looking at?
I don't even know. I think it was going to be like a postal delivery guy or something like that. I don't even know what I was going to do. I was just winging it up there. Yeah. I was literally living out of my car. I was crashing at a few boys. On their sort of fold out sofa thing, I met up there through the club, and I'm pretty faithful to them two dudes. They looked after me for a week out there and let me stay on their lounge.
See, these are like the things that people don't people don't realize, yeah. right? They think it's like all smooth sailing, yeah. you know, play 20s, play NRL, like yeah, yeah. go through and whatever. And for some people, it does happen.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, you know, for a little scrapper from Avoca.
Yeah. Like I literally just, like when I was like, signed the deal to go up the Tweed, I was like, oh, I packed my little Mazda 3 up. And I mean, I think my mum probably cried for days on end after that. I was like, yeah, no worries, mum. I'm like, off I go, and like drove up to the Gold Coast and didn't really. I actually stopped in at Byron. Didn't
that
stop
that matchy wouldn't have lasted long there.
No, that was gone. School was on, so I drove up there. I just stayed there for a couple of weeks, and I was going back and forth up there. So I was just potting around Byron for a little bit, just cruising, and school was on. I was a little bit of a toolie at the time, but yeah, I was just cruising around there, just had a bit of fun, and yeah, so I just went out there and I was like, yeah, Haddo just messaged me and said, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just up on the Gold Coast. I think I sent him a selfie, sitting on the beach, like, oh, it's all right. It's all right up here. Like, and he goes, oh, like who you signed up with? I was, yeah, it's Tweed Seagulls. He goes, mate, we need a dummy half down here. Would you come down here? And I was like, yeah, obviously. Like, that's an NRL deal. Like, what's the go? And he was sort of messaging me back and forth. And Brendan O'Hagan was down there as well.
Oh, was he already there?
Yeah, he was there as well. Yep. So he was messaging me like, so Pete Mulholland, who was at Newcastle with me, was down there, and he got a few of the boys down there, Hudson and Brendan. Mm. So, yeah, they just said, like, Pete's under call you, I think. Pete's under call you. And if anyone knew how Pete Mulholland was, he does it in his own time, and he's quite slow with everything. So didn't hear anything for a couple of days. It might have been a week. So I'm, like, thinking, oh, maybe they've found somewhere else. They've sort of filled a spot, because there was the kid down there wanted to go home, and he went home. He was signed up and went back to New Zealand.
Yeah, wow.
And so they needed like a sort
of... Did he play ever?
Don't think so. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. Anyway, he... So he got homesick, wanted to go home. So they needed a sort of young hooker that could play reserve grade. And so I just sort of sat around my phone sort of waiting for this call. And like, it didn't end up coming. So
Like talking to your mum going, oh, yeah, I'm going to Canberra.
I sort of mentioned it to her and I was like, oh, maybe. And then I was actually... was supposed to sign with Curtis, my mate, we like signed a lease to the house.
Oh no.
That day, and I think I drove back home. So I signed a lease to the house, drove back for Christmas, drove back to the Central Coast for Christmas, and then I was out shopping with mum, and then just got this call from random number, and it was Pete Mulholland, and I was in Arena shopping centre.
Wasn't it like Christmas Eve or something?
Yeah, like day before, pretty sure. Yeah. It was like day before Christmas or whatever it was. I couldn't really understand him because it was bad reception in there, people everywhere. And I was like loud as, and I'm nervous, like, oh, is this like a job interview? Like, yeah, is he asking me? And like, I just was sort of breaking up. He's like, do you want to come camera? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And it sort of kept breaking up. And he's like, I'll just message you, because I couldn't hear him. And then he just said, be here at this time. Like, just sent me, got a training trial deal down in Canberra. Be here on the 4th of whatever, January, whatever it was.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Be here ready to go. So I was like, oh, well, looks like I'm had to ring Curtis up and say, sorry, Curtis, I'm not coming back up, mate. I'm going down to Canberra. So I was off again, packed my little Mazda 3 up, and off I went. And luckily enough, I knew Brendan and Hudson there, and moved straight in with Brendan. And then, got down there and on a training trial deal. And again, it was like, all right, just go out and prove myself and let my footy do the talking.
Yeah, cool. So your mindset now is like, all right, I've been given this lifeline kind of thing. This is my, are you thinking, because initially, you know, when you're coming through at Newcastle, you're potentially going, yep, it's every step of the way. I'm ticking every box. Yeah. I'm getting there. I'm playing 20s. I'm playing New South Wales Cup. Now I've debuted in NRL. You know, now it kind of got ripped all away from you. Mm. Now you've been given, without lack of a better word, a lifeline in Canberra. Are you like going to go in and prove myself? Yeah. Or how's your mindset now?
Yeah, from that phone call, it was like, I probably wasn't in like a full, I was up there and I was probably messing around a bit up there on the Gold Coast. I wasn't really training too hard. Like, I'll get myself in. Yeah, I was enjoying myself. Say that, like, on the Gold Coast. Like, I knew I was going to get myself back on track, but it was like a bit of like a, oh, shit, now I'm like, what's happening here? Like, I was in a bit of a weird sort of mindset, but I always knew I would get myself back up and dust myself off, but I wasn't probably in the best nick when I got the phone call. I was like, oh shit, now I've got it. Like,
you get home,
gotta
go doing box jumps on the front.
I started, yeah, I was like, all right. I was back on the train, and like I'd a set of stairs there. I'd sprint up there, and I went into full Rocky mode.
All the ones at Avoca.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how bad are they?
They're like this. I've done them too many times. Yeah, I still do them in my off season.
Do you?
I think it's a good little reminder of myself, myself back to when I was a little kid sprinting up them and training. Sort of a little reset, get ready to go again. So I went into a bit of a rocky mode. I think it was only like a week or something, like a couple of weeks until I was down there, and I was like, I've got to go and improve myself. It's a training trial deal. I think it was originally for until the start of the season, a training trial deal, and because they were linked up with Mounties.
Yeah,
I think it was like, well, if they didn't prove myself, I'll go back and sign with Mounties, and I'll live in Sydney, I guess, or do whatever. So, so I was like, I had to go. You know, get the Rocky montage training video going. And
out of interest, is there a few people on training trials? Like, are you all fighting out for one or two spots? Yeah. How does it work?
When I went down, there was another hooker on training trial. It was a local kid, and then there was another kid that was on a development deal as a dummy half who was up from Queensland. So like, I was going into like out of you three, sort of prove who's going to be this sort of third string hooker, I guess.
Yeah.
That's going to be the start nine for the reserve grade side with Mounties. And I think I had a few more notches under my belt. I got a debut and stuff like that. So, and played a lot of reserve grade and 20s and stuff like that. So, it was like, I was originally just a training trial deal. So I had to go down there and prove myself. And, I think it was probably the best thing for me. As you sort of mentioned, I was ticking all the boxes going, how good's this? How good's this? Not too many setbacks. Like, I didn't have any injuries, coming through the ranks, had no major injuries, so I was sort of coasting along, thinking how good's this, and then like that just taken away from you. So it was good. It was looking back on it, was probably the best thing for me. Good little reset. Go put that chip back on your shoulder and go chase your dream, kid. So yeah,
love it. That's awesome. There's so many cool little nuggets there for people to get a fair bit out of. I reckon I love that. So then obviously you fight hard, get a full contract.
Yeah, so I went in there and I was training hard. Like, I went after it. Like, I was, the old lessons that my dad would wanted: be the fittest, be the strongest, be what you can control.
I love that. Just fall back on, just, on yeah, your
just,
training.
Just go back to it. And just I was just, I was ripping and tearing. I wanted to try and win every fitness test. I was marking myself against Josh Hodgson, who at the time was the best dummy half in the comp. He was lighting it up, and I was like, I'm gonna go run next to Hodjo.
Of a support was he in the start of your career?
Yeah, he was good. Like, he was very, like, all the boys down there, and I must say, like, going to Canberra, the level of intensity and training that was there was this is better. This is what it's about. Like,
A little bit different in Newcastle?
Yeah, way different. Okay. Way different. It was intense down there, and the boys, it was scorching hot.
Is that led from Sticky?
What
do you think?
Yeah, 100%. This is what Stick coaches. He coaches that hard nosed type of team, and we had some mad players back then in that 2019 side. Like, it was that's the first year. White and Josh Hodgson, like Pups, C.S. Soliola.
Pups was like the best.
Elliot Whitehead. These were these boys.
Bateman was there too, wasn't he?
Johnny Bateman was his. Yeah. I did my first. Me and Johnny did the beep test together. Beat him. Sunburnt beat him that day. He was gone. He had his singlet tan and everything. But that side was stacking. It was full of some people that got after it, and the scrimmage sessions were sick. Like, it was pushes and shoves. It was intense, and I was like, how good is this? This is mad. And obviously Hutto, Big Red was there. We're the same age, so Big Red was there, and it was a good environment. Like, everyone was getting after it, everyone was out there competing, and I could just tell at the time, I was like, yeah, man, this is sick. This is how it's supposed to be. So I went in there, just went balls to the wall. Like, I was just giving it everything I got, and it was all, and I was having fun down there too with Brendan and Hutto, like two of my best mates. So it was a good period. And then I think it was a couple of weeks in. I think it was only a few weeks in, and I was might have been after a trial match, scored a trial, I played pretty decently, and Stick and Pete Molan called me up to the office. And
were you half shitting yourself, or did you know it was coming?
Oh yeah, I had no idea. I didn't know what it was for. Like, you sort of had England. I'm going all right. Like, I'm getting the reps over the other two dudes that were sort of in that contention. I was in the scrimmages and stuff like that. And
does it come into your mind though? Like, I know you said that there's three hookers fighting over one spot, but like, overarchingly, there's only a top 30 squad or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah.
So there might have only been, say, one or two open spots for the whole squad. Yeah. And they might go, well, we've got the best hooker in the comp, Josh Hodgson. Do we need a third?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, are you thinking that, or you're just going, nah, it's just next job?
I think my goal was, like, for the cup team. Like, I wanted to be the starting cup side, nine. And, I think my manager was doing more of the calculations of like, oh, who have they got? Yeah, like, okay. what positions do they need? I was just like, yeah, let me footy do the talk, and I'll just train hard here. And you know, it was always that option that they just kept me around just because I was good. At least I was in the system and they knew who I was. I can't remember at the time what I was thinking with, you know, the roster spots and stuff like that. But yeah, Stick pulled me up into his office with Pete and said, mate, we're going to put you on the development deal this year. And then I'm going to give you a top 30 deal next year. And I think I knew that I was at that time, I was going to get at least stay around for the season.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that they were going to put me in the top 30, which was a pretty cool moment. Like, that's your first time being a top 30. I was never in the top 30 up in Newcastle.
Yeah, okay, cool.
It was always like a development or whatever it was. So that was like, oh, cool. Like, they're putting their trust in me. They're putting me... and that was only after like maybe a month of training. So, you know, Sticky Steen, what, you know, I think he's seen a kid that was willing to work hard for what he, like, I was going out there.
You kind of suit Sticky's mentality, right?
Yeah, for
you're
sure.
A scrapper.
Like, yeah, it's just get out there and just go hard. And like, I think he's seen that I was, you know, I was trying to put myself next to Hodjo and run next to him. And Hodjo was fit, man. He trained hard. And
that's awesome.
You know, the next few years we'd be next to each other at all the fitness components and all in the gym, like, sort of, I'll be trying to chase him and some days he'd be trying to chase me, like, so, yeah, cool. You know, so it was...
Have you, and so, like, we'll start to fast forward a little bit here, but, like, have you found now there's been a bit of transition where you're doing that for the younger guys?
Yeah, for sure, yeah, like, and, I've been asked this before, you know, are you mentoring the younger nines and stuff like that? And, like, yeah, I'll help him out as much as I can, and a lot of it you learn yourself, but, you know, the men... Joshy Hodgson I had there when I was coming through grade and when I got my first full crack at playing first grade when he did his ACL, he was massive with me. Like, he would sit down with me, and if I had some video to look at, he'd sit down there with me and look at it with me, and he'd tip me up about what, you know, certain teams do and at dummy half if they're a bit jumpy at mark or if they tend to fall back from his experiences. And just being there and like me asking questions and just honestly putting your arm around you and showing support can be massive for a young kid that was so influential at the time. You know, Josh Hodgson, you know, giving me tips and I'm playing
100%.
Get to play. You know, I'm trying to fill his void and stuff like that. So I'll try and help help anyone. It doesn't matter if it's a dummy half or you know, a 5'8" fullback, whatever it is. I'll pass on my experiences and how I handled things, and you know, they might think to handle it differently, and I'll probably tell them maybe you do handle it differently. I didn't handle this too well, or whatever it is. I'll pass on. I like to help people. I like being, as I sort of mentioned before, I love being that team player. I love being that person that, you know, is all about the team, and because that's what it's about.
Do you think? And so we'll just touch on this quickly, and if you want, we can completely cut this out. But so the little bit of adversity that happened with Fletcher's 21st, obviously, I think it's still in the courts and stuff. So like, we won't talk about it too much, but. Essentially, some stuff happened to you, and you know, the media you were completely in the right for start. If anyone doesn't know anything about it, completely in the right. You guys are still going after you're sort of suing the police and stuff at the moment. Do you think that team player and that next job mentality and that like hard work ethic and different things, is that why the Raiders backed you so hard through that period?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, keep it in there. Mate, I'm not scared to talk about it. And, you know, hopefully someone can learn from me. If only one person can learn from what I went through. And I think just the person that I am, I was raised right. My parents did a really good job raising me and my brothers, and we're good people. We know it's not a bad bone in our body. I think
everyone can vouch for that.
Yeah.
Too,
so everyone loves, you know, me mum and dad, and, you know, their community got around us. And I think, you know, Stick knew that, the club knew that I was a good person. And, you know, and, you know, Stick's main thing is if you get in trouble or whatever, you know, something happens, is to tell him the truth. And I told him the truth, and he got on the front foot right away, which really helped me. It took a lot of the heat off what happened. I think he faced the media the next morning because I was supposed to report in, two days later, I was supposed to report into training a couple of days later. And, you know, Stick come out and, you know, he didn't know the full story, but I told him, you know, what's being said in the media is it's completely false. I didn't do all these things they're saying. And so he jumped right on it and sort of, you know, released the pressure a little bit. And, you know, they're good people. Sticks in the club, that's why I love the club so much. The people inside of it generally care for you, and that's what makes the club so special. And when people go to the club, I know like people probably don't think of as Canberra Raiders as like a marquee place to go, and because it's down in Canberra, you know, everyone's probably thinking to come to Sydney and stuff like that. But once you find your way down to Canberra and you get inside there and you get inside the four walls there, you generally feel loved, and the people look after you there. And like, and that's not just, you know, the coaching side of things. It's the front office. It's the media team. It's everyone there that, you know, cares about you. The fans care about you and stuff like that. So, you know, I was very fortunate enough to be at that club when this thing happened. Like, as we mentioned about before, like that was after me first full year of sort of NRL. I think I played 12 regular rounds and then went all the way to a prelim that year. So again, like I'm up here flying. I've just played much my first year, and then that off season to happen. So I'm like, man, like every time I seem to get up here, I'm like, how good is this? Something happens, and I was like,
but I think like and overarchingly, like knowing you a little bit, and also like just listening to the way you've sort of handled adversity through your life and different things, it's everything's kind of that like next job.
Mm.
So, and not everyone can be as not carefree, but like water off a duck's back kind of thing, and take on that next task or scenario with that kind of mentality. But I think you've really, like, a lot of those things have sort of shaped the way you're able to sort of handle that really maturely. I'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
And you know, mate, super proud of the way you kind of handled that and got through it. So congratulations for all mate, I know you've been here for ages, so I'll quickly fly through a few things. What's future?
Sorry, I can talk.
No, mate. I love it. I'm more conscious of your time.
No, I'm all right, mate. I'm happy to chop the chew. Yeah, it's all good, brother.
Sweet. Well, with I guess plans for so we've sort of wrapped around your whole career. We started at where we are now, and we took it back to the start. Filled sort of through. What does the future hold for Tommy Starling? What are your future goals, if you want to talk them out loud or whatever?
It's a hard one, man. Like, as you sort of mentioned before, like I'm a pretty, like whatever comes, you know. Then like I've got my goals and stuff that I want to do. And as I sort of mentioned before, like, you know, my biggest fear is not reaching my potential as a football player.
That's and so cool.
What I perceive as what I want out of my career. I'd take it day by day, and I know what I want to achieve, and I'll attack that. And I've always been pretty well driven of what I want to do. And I'm pretty cruisy, dude. Like I'll go with the flow, and whatever pops up, I'll just face head on and just keep attacking it. And as I sort of mentioned, the journey, everyone's journey is different. Everyone's got their stories to tell, and I think that's one of the main things I love hearing people's stories about what they overcome, or you know, certain parts, and or you know, a mad game that they played. Like I think that's what we've got as an individual. You got your stories to tell, and going back to my dad, he always used to tell me mad stories about when he was playing footy or about.
I might have to get Dave on here.
Get Dave on here. It'll be a hell of an interview. He will sit here with a long neck and tell you a few yarns. But like that as a kid, like. I used to just be sitting there and listen to my dad tell these stories. Now I'm like, yeah, Dad, I've heard the stories, mate, when he keeps telling them. But, you know, like, I think that was a cool part of, like, you know, when he did this, you know, he had a lot of ACL injuries and he had to come back from that. And I think it's just, you know, one day I'll have kids and I'll be telling them these stories and how I overcome things and what I did. And so, yeah, I'll be telling these stories and at the pub one day. And so yeah, I think I've got my goals I want to achieve, and it's obviously at the minute it's win a premiership. That's what you want to do, and keep being the best football player I can be the best person I can be.
Love it, mate. That's awesome. I guess you've sort of answered a little bit there, but like in terms of I guess how you want to be remembered, both in Canberra and as a footy player.
Yeah, and a player that everyone wanted to play with, mate. Like when I go into training, I'm so happy. Like I'll pinch myself that I'm playing in the NRL. I get to do this for a living. Like I get in there like happy as, like I'm never sad. Like,
you know, boy, again, like, his dream, eh?
Yeah, they're living like you're living your dream, man. And you pinch yourself, like you go back to my parents. They've obviously been a massive part of me. If they could get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to a job that they probably didn't like,
yeah.
Like who am I to go? Like, yeah. it sometimes shits me when you see people come into training, like, oh, I've got to do this and that. You should be like, man, this is what we've got to do.
Cool mentality.
Probably when we're doing the beep test or something like that, you enjoy that sort of stuff, and like it's playing footy is like, it honestly makes me so happy, and like it just winning games of footy, going out there with your teammates that you build this bond with, and that camaraderie, everything about it. Like, I grew up with brothers, so it's such a boys' environment. Like, we're all like, it's just the best. Like, so yeah, I love playing footy. I'll just keep going in there with a smile on my face every day, but also having that edge that we're chasing something, and having that steely-eyed focus on something that we want to achieve, and enjoying it along the way, which is probably the main part. But you know, having that goal and having that ambition to go out and chase something, so it's exciting, man. Like, it's pretty exciting time of the season, and I'm so happy to do it with this group of boys that we're with right now. We're really, really tight down there, so I'm excited for us and what we can achieve.
I love that. Love that. I think you've probably, without even realizing, maybe answered this already, but plans for post-career. So with what you've kind of mentioned there, you love going in there every day, is being a part of a club, you know, in a coaching capacity or whatever. Is that ambition, or is it media, or is it other, do you want to go to lay bricks?
Dad won't let me lay bricks. He did that for too many years, but I don't know, will this podcast blow up, maybe be a co-host or something like
mate,
that?
Mitchell, you're welcome, you mate. This is unreal. You're welcome.
Yeah,
anytime.
I think, again, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just sort of like everything that I've done in my career. It's
Are you doing any like study or anything on the
I'm doing
my
strength and conditioning course at the minute. Like, cool. That's just something that I've always been into, like, yeah, fitness.
It's only going to help you, right?
Yeah,
learning
like
more
and
about
understanding
it.
Self, and feel like I'd be pretty good. I'm always energetic in the gym and doing stuff and getting the boys motivated and stuff like that. I think I'd be good at that, but I don't know if that's exactly what I want to do. But again, like, just sort of like everything, I just sort of face things as they come, and like, I'll sort of just focus on playing footy at the minute and trying to be the best football player I can be. And at some point I'll probably get to the end of my career and go, oh, what do I do now? But being in and around footy, I think would be the main thing. Like, I don't know if it's coaching or whatever it is. I think I'd go all right at coaching young kids. I don't think I'd enjoy that. I know that's probably not your main job and something like that. But again, Mitchie, I don't really know. I'll just play it by ear and I'll find a passion, something after footy, but at the minute it's full tilt footy. I just can't get enough of it. So
all legs in, I love
and
it.
And sprinkle a little bit of golf in there. Love me golf, so definitely absolutely won't be going pro for that.
We'll have to we used to play a little bit of golf together, but we'll have to chop that up again soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Mate, I really appreciate this. This has been awesome. I've got three quick fire questions to go at
ready
the end.
To go.
If you go back and talk to a 16-year-old Tom, what would you tell him?
Keep doing you, kid. Wouldn't change anything. Like, I'll probably change that dark period where I got arrested and stuff like that. That was a pretty shit time for my family and me personally. But I think that 16-year-old kid's attitude towards life and towards playing footy and hanging out with his mates and being a good mate, I think I still think today I'm still that 16-year-old kid. So. I know this is supposed to be a quick fire question.
No,
but
it's fine. Go for it.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't change a whole lot, to be fair, mate. Like, I've
strap yourself in.
Strap yourself in. It's a hell of a journey, but mate, yeah, I think he had a good head on him back then, and he's still that 16-year-old kid that just wants to enjoy life, play footy, and I think the enjoy life part's a bit of it. Get around your mates and get around your family, and you know, don't take the little things for granted.
Love it. After a game, favorite cheat meal.
Domino's Pizza Hut. Why would I? Domino's.
Just both.
I was trying to think of the one that's close to me that I always order. Yeah. It's a pepperoni pizza with the crust and that. Yeah, I do smack one of them. Probably that would be my go-to.
Can be dead or alive. You're going out to play golf tomorrow at your favorite golf course. You got three other people to play with. Who you taking? Anyone in the world. I reckon one of them's doing these ones.
Yeah, Johnny Manziel. I was on the way down here, I was listening to his podcast. So I was
with Mike Evans, that one?
Yeah, the Glory Days one.
Yeah.
Johnny, get me on.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Manziel, he was about, like, when I started watching college football, he was the man. So that's why I started going for Texas A&M. And, like, he just took over the world. And I was like, oh, how good is this? Is this what happens all the time? But, Manziel, because he can play golf too. He's a stick. So go Johnny. Man, that's tough. I'll probably go... I don't know how good he'd be at golf, but he'd be maybe for the beers after. Yeah. And if we get into a scrap in the car park or something, he'd be all right. McGregor, I've got the little Irish tattoo thing down there. McGregor, so I'll probably go Connor, and trying to think. At the minute, I'll probably go Lamar Jackson because he's the man. Ravens fan. Like what I was sort of saying before watching them videos was like Ray Lewis. Watched Ray Lewis highlight videos. Like, this dude's an animal. And so that's when I started going for Baltimore. Had me Ray Lewis jersey and stuff like that. And then, you know, Lamar Jackson has just been an absolute freak. So I'll go Lamar Jackson. How many was it? Three?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go them three. That's pretty good lineup.
I'll well and truly carry your bags around. mate, I'm super grateful for today. I really appreciate your support with this. And, mate, good luck for the rest of the season. And I can't wait to see you lift a trophy.
Are you sure? As a Penrith fan, you're going to say.
If you can lift a trophy, I'm happy with that.
Thanks, Pitchy. Thanks for having me on, mate. I love the idea of this, mate. So hopefully someone can learn something from it and get a bit of a yarn. So
mate, I'm sure they will. There's great little nuggets in there. So, cheers, Tommy. Thanks,
brother. Thank you, brother.
Brother, that was awesome.
All good, lad.